You will forgive me, please, if I start this sermon in a rather unusual way. As I was preparing this Palm Sunday service, I found myself needing urgent treatment for acute dental pain. Being a typical man, I confessed to unbearable pain. On reflection, such an ailment is minor in comparison to the obvious deadly and serious diseases. Problems with teeth are hardly worth mentioning, but that's not to say it wasn't painful. Yet an unusual thought occurred to me. We don't ever read that Jesus suffered any childhood illnesses, nor indeed that while he was in his father's carpenter's workshop, is there any mention of a workshop injury. We might think he was very cautious or extremely fortunate, and not even in those intervening years from being lost and then found in the temple talking with the leaders, and we recall him being scolded by his distraught parents who had discovered he was missing as they were making their way home, having been to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, to the time of his public ministry. Is there any record that Jesus was ever poorly? But we have to remember that although all of us are born with what is called original sin, which Adam must bear the blame, Jesus was born of a virgin by the Holy Spirit and was therefore born without original sin. This had to be, for if he had born as we are, with the result of Adam's sin in us, his sacrifice on the cross could only have been for his own sin. But he was sinless and was therefore able to take our sin on himself. In the words of the well-known hymn, he only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. All our illnesses result from Adam spoiling the perfect world God had given to him. Adam set in motion the imperfections we see in the world, from man's disobedience, resulting in the world's selfishness, causing the lack of care we see, and the illnesses resulting from the imperfections that Adam's actions triggered. So it's not surprising that Jesus is not recorded as being prone to the pain of ailments, having been born sinless. Jesus came to live a sinless life in order to redeem a world affected by sin. And in the dentist chair, I wondered why such thoughts were coming to me. Then my mind went to the reading in St. Luke's Gospel. Jesus, with his disciples and the pilgrims, had walked up the Jericho Road on Friday, and possibly resting at Bethpage, or as it's properly pronounced, Bethphage, which is only ever mentioned in the Bible at the recording of the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. They climbed the 15 steep miles to Bethany, and from the Mount of Olives could see the magnificent temple, the palaces, the gardens of the wealthy Jews, and the great wall encircling the city in a sight of heavenly splendour. Add to that memories of more than 1,000 years of sacred history, which would overwhelm any pious Jew, and this, we are told, moved Jesus to tears, because he saw the coming destruction of the city. If they only knew, Jesus said, the things which belong to their peace. But that would involve their need for repentance and acceptance of him as Lord and Saviour. In the coming few days, they would have to choose to accept or reject God's offer to acknowledge Jesus and face their sin, their prejudice, their self-will and their self-righteousness. Jesus may not have suffered physically with the ailments we have, but oh, the burden of carrying our sin because of his love for the people, when the thought of their rejecting his offer of God's ways, so great was that burden, that it caused him to weep. He had at this point just 7 days before he was crucified. On Sunday he entered Jerusalem. On Monday he cleansed the temple. Tuesday we hear him teaching in parables. On Wednesday there is the treachery of Judas. Thursday was the day of the Last Supper and the arrest in Gethsemane and the ecclesiastical trial. Friday was the trial of Jesus before Pilate, the crucifixion and his burial. Saturday we remember he was in the tomb, and then of course would come the glorious resurrection on Sunday. But at the start of the week, Jesus wept over the state of the city. There could be nothing to compare with the agony of mind that Jesus must have felt during those few days. He must have suffered mental torment, the like of which we could not possibly comprehend. Through all the demands on him, Jesus had arrived in Jerusalem to pay for the sin of the world. In that week, he faced people making his father's house into what he called a den of robbers. That took so much courage. Yet he also had to deal with one of his disciples, Judas, betraying him. There was a moment of arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter resorted to violence against a soldier. And what a religious disgrace to have to face a trial by religious leaders. What torment Jesus must have faced to be held to account by those purporting to represent his Father. And as we shall soon see, Jesus will undergo unimaginable physical pain. No wonder when the Pharisees asked Jesus to stop his disciples praising him in words which clearly reflected his Messiah status, that if he were to stop their proclamations, the very stones would cry out. How utterly sad that God would have need to consider causing stones to do that, to give testimony to Jesus, if man would not. No wonder Jesus wept at his isolation and being rejected, which he could see coming as the praising crowd deserted him one by one. As he enters Jerusalem, we must decide whether to stay with him. May I ask, if you know of someone who is ignoring the appeal of the Saviour, let us, with Jesus, weep for the lost and direct them to the Calvary cross.